All right, this is it. My name is Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 43 of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Into one of these so-called short weeks. Do you fall for that? I fall for it every time. I have a long 3-day weekend. Those are awesome. There's no other way to describe those. The 3-day weekends, they live up to the hype. The short week, that's a ripoff. That's a fool's bet. That's fool's gold right there. You think, all right, not only do I have this kick-ass 3-day weekend, but now I have a short week. Yeah. And then the short week is terrible. It feels like it's 17 days long. I mean, it's not really a short week. I mean, it's like I still end up working like 40 hours, you know, in those 4 days. So, I mean, and the thing about it is you go into it with these expectations. You go into it on day one thinking, all right, I'm almost there. Almost got through this thing, you know, but it's Tuesday at 3 p.m. You know, you've been at work for 1 hour and the expectations are all askew. So it ends up being these short weeks feel longer than the normal 5-day weeks. And it's because of expectations. And you would think that at my advanced age that I wouldn't fall for this anymore. And yet I do, over and over and over again. It's because I want it to be true. You know, so, you know what I'm saying? I want something to be true, so I believe it. That's not a good way to go about things. But anyway, it's Friday as I record this, so the weekend's just right over the hill. We're cresting over that hill, and then we'll be back in weekend mode again. I wouldn't say I'm in weekend mode already, but we're in weekend mode again. It didn't feel like 4 days. It felt like 17 days. That's what it felt like. Anyway, today I want to tell you a story. I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast. I've certainly written about it at the website. It's not one of my top tier stories, the ones I repeat all the time. Like an Alzheimer's patient, or is that Alzheimer's? I don't know which it is. Doesn't matter. But so this is one that I don't repeat often, but I've certainly told the story before at the Surf Report website. Don't know if I've ever said it here or talked about it here on the podcast. If I have, it's been a long time ago, probably back in the Jeff K. Show days. So anyway, what triggered it is my friend Rocky. So if you're a reader of the website, you know Rocky from all the shenanigans. I've written many stories. In fact, I have a page at the Surf Report. It was from many, many years ago. And I don't know. I don't like the way I used to write back in those days. But anyway, so don't go look at it. I mean, you don't need to read it. But it was called The Rocky Stories. And I got into all kinds of shenanigans with him. I knew him from grade school through, I don't know, past high school. We used to get into many shenanigans, many of them in the later years, alcohol-fueled. So there's a lot of stories involving Rocky. And I'm trying to get him to come on the podcast. And I don't know, it's a 50-50 proposition at this point. You know, my people talking to his people, trying to work out the logistics, you know. And I don't know. I don't think he wants to come on, but he says he will. But I don't think his heart's in it. And but during these conversations, I said, "What are you up to? What are you doing these days?" He said, "I'm just doing some substitute teaching and working, you know, I work a regular job and I do a little substitute teaching." So that's what triggered it. When he said that he's doing substitute teaching, that's what triggered this story. This thing has roots that go all the way back to ninth grade. And where I'm from, I'm talking both geographically and you know, time period. Where I'm from, this is the way it worked. The way the school was laid out. It was first grade through sixth grade. Is elementary school. We didn't have kindergarten. That's how old I am. I mean, that's how they didn't even have kindergarten. They had it, but it wasn't in the public schools. I went to kindergarten, in fact, but it wasn't like in the public schools. It was done by, I don't know what the deal was. This woman named Mrs. Penn ran this kindergarten. I mean, it was professionally done. It wasn't in a school. And I don't know what her, I don't know if she was a teacher. I don't think she was a teacher. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I think she had some kind of side business where she was doing this. It was well done. It was in the basement of a church. And we had all, you know, it was the normal kindergarten stuff. We had, like, I remember we used to, like, nap. They used to have us nap. That's crazy. But anyway, we didn't have kindergarten in the public schools back in those days. It was first through sixth elementary school. And then grade 7 through 9 is junior high. We didn't have that middle school, which is just another thing I don't like on my long list. I don't like that middle school. You know, I prefer junior high. That's the way. That's the phrase we used, and that's the one I prefer. Middle school, that's dopey in my view. But anyway, so grade 7 through grade 9 was junior high. And then 10th through 12th is high school. That's the way it worked. I don't know. I didn't set it up, so don't blame me. So anyway, this thing has roots that go. This story has roots that go all the way back to 9th grade, which is the last year of junior high. And I had this class called creative writing, and it was I think it was one of those electives where it's like 9 weeks, you know. And I think it was the last 9 weeks of the school year. I had this class, creative writing. Basically, we were supposed to be putting out a school newspaper, which, by the way, was called the Bullpup Bark. And you know, we're supposed to be putting out issues of this thing. I don't know if we ever got one out, you know, in the 9 weeks. I don't think we did. But anyway, I always liked writing. And I took this class. I thought it might be interesting. But, you know, it was near the end of the school year, 9th grade, next year going into high school. And the woman who taught this class was, I don't know, borderline insane. I mean, from all accounts, like a crazy person. I mean, I don't know. But by the time I got there, she was gone. She was out on some kind of she did some kind of catastrophic damage to herself. I don't know the details, but I think it had something to do with falling off a curb or something. I don't know, but she was out of the picture. She was a fruitcake, but in fact, you know, when I think back on teachers, am I wrong about this? I mean, I had plenty of great teachers. I had a handful of great teachers. I had a lot of, you know, fine, you know, perfectly fine teachers in there. But there seemed to be a large segment of true kooks. It feels like there's more nutty people in the teaching profession than in the general population. You know, I'm not talking about numbers, I'm talking about percentage-wise. It felt like a larger percentage of teachers are crazy in some way than in the general population. Am I wrong about that? I had this teacher. All right. I mean, this is just another... I'm fast forward. In high school, I had this teacher. You know, we didn't get... Well, there was friction between me and her because she was crazy. And, you know... So I had this speech class, and she was, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to denigrate her, because if somebody might be able to figure out who I'm talking about. So I'm going to watch what I say. But she and I didn't see eye to eye, as many of my teachers. And I had that problem over and over again. Many of my teachers. So I had this speech class when I was in high school with this woman. And she gave me an F. That's fine, you know. I was very used to that. That's not something that really is going to really going to shake me to the foundation, you know. So she gave me an F in this speech class for whatever reason. And, all right, that's fine, whatever. And, but then she told me, she didn't say this in front of the class, she told me in a situation where only the two of us will hear, she tells me, and you know what that F stands for too, don't you? I was like, what the? You know, I mean, this is like, what kind of, you know, this woman's insane. All right, I don't know. So anyway, going back to this ninth grade thing. So she was out, the regular teacher was out, so we had a permanent substitute teacher. She was in there for the rest of the year, whatever length of time that was. So she was a permanent sub, and she came in there hard charging. She had a reason to feel this way, because those junior high years, that's got to be the worst as far as teaching goes. I mean, that's ground zero for showboating little prick assholes, right? Just little shitheads that needs to be beaten, you know? I mean, all these little pricks, these little sarcastic little assholes, right? Am I wrong? I mean, I know I'm not wrong. I know for a fact that's true. So those years, especially the boys, although the girls are no treat either, the boys, especially, there's a lot of showboating, peacocking, you know what I'm saying? And I was like a poster child for that kind of behavior, you know. I'm not proud of it. I mean, if I was to go back out and I was a teacher and I was in the 14-year-old me was in there, I wanted to beat the shit out of that kid, you know. So anyway, she comes in there hard charging, saying, thinking to herself, I'm not going to be pushed around by these little pricks. I'm going to take control. And so she comes in there with that attitude, which only made matters worse. So everybody's like pushing her buttons, you know. I mean, it's just like almost unanimous. Everybody's, you know, trying to get away with as much as they possibly could, because she came in there with that chip on her shoulder. And I was, you know, I was right. I was involved in that. But one day I was sitting in there. I wasn't doing anything. I was completely innocent, except for, you know, my vast history of being a little asshole. This day, I wasn't doing anything. I was sitting there, and I had a rubber band, and I was absent-mindedly playing with it. I wasn't saying anything. I wasn't causing any trouble. I wasn't doing anything. She comes rushing over to my table or over to my desk and says, Jeff, what are you doing with that rubber band? I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here, you know, and she goes, give me that rubber band, just yelling in front of everybody. Just putting on a big show for everybody. And I had done nothing. I wasn't making any noise. It was not like I was flicking it, clicking it or anything, you know, snapping it or anything. I wasn't making any noise. I was just kind of like wrapping it around my finger absentmindedly, not even thinking about it. And so she puts on a big show for everybody. So I say, okay, here you go. And I shoot it over her head like a... It goes sailing right over her head, which was probably not a great idea. If I'd have hit her in the face with that thing, which, you know, was only inches above her head, if I'd have mistakenly hit her in the face, I wouldn't have done it on purpose. I'm not that crazy. If I'd have hit her in the face with that thing by mistake, that probably would have been the end of the road for me there at the old Dunbar Junior High School. So, not the greatest choice, you know, but She put me on, you know, making a spectacle out of me. So I can't, you know, I can't let that ride. So I shot that thing over her head. She lost her complete mind. Told me to get out, you know, don't come back. I don't want to see you in this class for the rest of the year. So she gave me a lifetime ban, you know. Get out of here. I don't want to see you in this class. So I get this thing where I have to go, I think it was sixth period for some reason. I'm thinking it was sixth period. I had to go, instead of going to that class, I'd have to check in at the principal's office. So the vice principal, you know, he's the enforcer. He's giving me a bunch of shit, you know, I don't know. This is back in the 70s, so they can get away with a whole bunch of stuff back then. Hey, he's like, you know, calling me a little, you know, I don't know what he said, but, you know, he's being abusive, you know, verbally. And then he had me clean out a bunch of closets and stuff, doing janitorial work. And he thought, well, this is going to be, you know, punishment for him. But I don't know, I'd rather do that than sit in that stupid class with that woman shouting and waving her arms around like a lunatic. So I made up maybe like 2 days. Maybe on the second day, my friend Billy also earned a lifetime ban from the same woman. So he was down there too. So one of my best friends and I, you know, we're sharing this so-called punishment, and you know, it was fun. They had us doing all kinds of stuff. It would start out, we'd stop in sixth period or whatever it was, you know, vice principal insult us and threaten us, you know, and then he'd assign us some kind of thing. We had to clean out this room where there's all these records where they would have dances, you know. We were laughing at the names of the bands. One of them was Con Funk Shun, CONFUNK-SHUN. And another artist was Seal Johnson, I think, SYL. So we thought this was hilarious. And I think Billy, like, flung one of the records against the wall, shattered into 10,000 pieces. You know, so we did stuff like that. They had us cleaning out closets and, I don't know, sweeping and shit. So one day they had us moving this big rolling rack of metal folding chairs. That thing must have had 50 chairs on it. It's real long. They're just standing straight up, you know. They're folded up, standing straight up on this big rolling rack. And so we're shoving this thing from one area of the school to the other. And it's in the hallway when all the classes are taking place. So everything's totally quiet, you know. Everybody's in their classrooms and the teachers are teaching. And we're shoving this rack of these folding metal chairs down the hall. Go around the corner, take it a little bit too sharp, and about, you know, 30 folding chairs come crashing off this thing. And it makes a god-awful racket that, I mean, it was crazy. So every teacher, half the students come pouring out in the hallway going, what is going on? You know, and the vice principal's down there like, what is wrong with you guys? Could you guys just not, you know? So that was kind of funny. But we rode out the rest of the year. It was, you know, whatever. I got an F. I'm very familiar with that territory. It's not like that's going to shake me, you know, too bad. So anyway, that was that. All right, that was in ninth grade. All right, fast forward 2 years when I'm in 11th grade. So when I'm in 11th grade, which is 2 full years later, and when you're 17 or 16 or whatever, that seems like a century. I mean, that was so long ago, ninth grade. That was decades ago, right? To me, that's what it felt like. All right, I was working at the Dunbar Toll Bridge. I was a toll collector, you know, in the upper echelons of the city government, you know, collecting those quarters as people cross the Dunbar Toll Bridge. And I was working there one day, and apparently this crazy teacher, this substitute teacher from ninth grade, comes across the bridge, sees me there, recognizes me, and doubles back later in the day after I'm gone, after my shift's over, and she parks her car, goes into the office, and talks to the manager, this guy named Dan Roy, who I affectionately called Droy, D-Roy, Droy, right? Talked to him and said something along the lines of, hey, that guy out there, I don't know if she knew my name. I don't know if she remembered my name. She described him to him and said, I just want to let you know, he's trouble. You know, he's a troublemaker. And not only that, he's a ringleader. That's the part. That's the best part of it. She kept calling me a ringleader. And so this woman stops in there, 2 years later, I was in junior high. I was a kid, and she comes in there 2 years. What is she trying to do? What is she trying to accomplish? She want me to be fired or something? Because I shot a rubber band over her head many years prior. I mean, this woman's crazy. And so Droy, you know, he's like, well, you know, I appreciate you stopping in and making me aware of these things. You know, he's just trying to get her out of there. And then he thinks it's hilarious. You know, he finds this to be the pinnacle of comedy. So he tells me the whole thing, and he's like zeroed in on that ringleader part, right? He thinks that's hilarious. So the entire rest of the time I worked there, he was like, oh, here comes the ringleader, you know, that kind of stuff. He thought it was hilarious. I, on the other hand, I didn't think I should. I was like, I didn't find the humor in that at all. Like, what kind of crazy, insane person goes and was she trying to get me fired from my job? God, from some stupid thing I did back when I was a kid. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was pissed. I was furious. And he thought it was funny. He thought we'd all have a big laugh about it. I didn't think it was funny at all. I still don't. I think that woman's insane, as far as I'm concerned. You talk about butting your nose in. God. So I find out, I start checking into things, and I find out that the reason she's coming across the Dunbar Toll Bridge is because she's substitute teaching down at the high school where I'm at, where I'm a student. I didn't have her. She was she's teaching some class I didn't have. But I found out where she was at, what classroom she was in, and started scoping out the situation, you know, trying to run some scenarios through my head, trying to figure out what to do. And I noticed that she, every day at the same time, she had she had a free period. She would go down to the cafeteria, get some food, bring it back to her class, and she would eat it there and then do whatever paperwork she was doing, you know. So that happened every day, right? I also noticed that she, this was in the winter, and it was kind of snowy and icy. She would wear boots to work and then change into sneakers or tennis shoes after she got there. So her winter boots, which, as I recall, looked kind of expensive, you know, upper class boots. You know what I'm saying? And they were always sitting beside her desk. All right. So I took this information and I formulated a plan. And I went in there one day when she was down at the cafeteria getting her food. And I had Rocky down below. And I don't know if he's the one. Okay. I don't know. But I went into her classroom, flung her boots out the window. She was on the second floor. Threw her boots out the window, right? And then Rocky was down below. There were other people involved. I don't know if Rocky was the one that actually, ran them up the flagpole. I don't know what his role was, but he was down below. And they got tied off and ran up the flagpole to a height where they were hanging right outside her window, out of her classroom window, right? So they tied it off so that the boots, her boots, her winter boots, are hanging from the flagpole right at the exact height of her classroom on the second floor. All right. So she comes back, and there's all these people that already know. There's all these people that know what's going on, like other students. So there's all these people waiting to see her reaction. They're like loitering out in the hallway. And she comes back, sits down at her desk. She's like eyeing everybody like, what the hell's going on? But nobody says anything. She goes into her classroom, starts eating and stuff, and she doesn't realize that her boots are gone. So somebody says, I'm sorry, ma'am. Sorry to interrupt, but aren't those your boots out there on that? Are those your boots out there, you know, on that flagpole? And she like whipped her head around, saw it, and then she whipped her head down to see if her boots were still sitting there. They were gone. And she, you know, she flipped out again, just like she did, you know, back in ninth grade. And you know, she was yelling and stuff. It was great. And then, so she's flipping. She's in full meltdown. And she, the great thing, it's like out of a movie. She and I, our eyes locked, you know. She saw me out there in the crowd in the hallway, and our eyes locked, you know. And, oh, that was a great moment. She realized at that moment that, you know, what had happened. But so that was the end of that. I mean, nothing ever happened. She couldn't prove I flung her boots out the window. I didn't run them up the flagpole. I might have orchestrated it. Whatever. But there's no way they could prove me that I did anything. I didn't get in trouble for that. But Steve's aunt was a longtime counselor at Dunbar High School. So he told me that he heard from her that this woman was like, had a complete, on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And she informed them that she would no longer do any teaching within the city limits of Dunbar, West Virginia. So I said, yes, job well done. I find this to be some of my best work, you know. So that's the story. I don't know what happened to her. She's a nut. Whatever. I'm sure she landed on her feet. Someone of that kind of a temperament couldn't help but land on your feet. So that's the end of that. We're at the end of this one, too, and we're at the end of the week. And the weekend's right over the hill. So hope you guys enjoyed this, and I will be back soon. If you want two of these a week, it's easy to do. Head on over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. It's $4. Put it on a credit card. Comes out the first of every month. You won't even notice it. $4 on a Visa or whatever. You won't even notice that. But in return, I have a way of saying thank you, and that is an extra episode of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast every week for patrons only. Only patrons can hear it. So if you're interested in hearing two of these a week instead of just one, it's easy to do. Head on over to patreon.com/JeffK and sign up for a $4 or more monthly patronage or donation, whatever you want to call it. They call it a patronage. I find that to be slightly, pretentious. It's a donation, and it helps me a great deal. So do it today if you want to. Also, we have this hotline you can call in. The number is 570-290-8151. That's 570-290-8151. Call it. Leave a message. Ask me a question. Make a comment, suggestion, whatever. And I will probably use it in a future episode. And if you're interested in doing that, you can do that too. Have a couple pops. Give me a call. It's just a voicemail thing. So if you want to do that, you know, feel free to do it anytime you want, 24 hours a day. And we're at the end, so I hope you guys enjoyed this little story from the past. And I will be back very soon with another episode. The Patreon episode is next. So I'll see ya. Have a good one. Bye. That's fool's gold right there.